Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you are doing great. Also, I should say happy April. This is the first episode of the month of April. I hope you all had a wonderful Easter, the best holiday of the Christian calendar. And man, we are cruising into springtime. A couple fun things from my family. As this episode airs, Dave and Levi and I will all be on an airplane headed to well, we're stopping over in Texas, but this Friday we will be making our way to Augusta, Georgia for Levi to compete in the national finals for the drive, chip, and putt event, which is the week before the Masters. So for those of you who are golf fans or maybe married to one, you might enjoy tuning in on Sunday where you can catch Levi on, I believe it's the Golf Channel and NBC. I'm not even sure, but I don't think he'll be too hard to find. He's in the 12, 13-year-old age division, and he and I will both be wearing bright yellow shirts and hats. I'll be dodging the cameras, but I'm his official chaperone, so I'll be there too. And it's going to be super fun. We are so excited and so just blown away that we get to be a part of this and how generous and awesome the Drive, Chip, and Putt people have been, and just what an exciting weekend we're going to have ahead. And hopefully you'll see us. Now, also, by the time this airs, there will already have been a special 3-minute segment on the Golf Channel featuring Levi and Luke golfing and surfing. Back in January, NBC and the Golf Channel sent a team out here to Hawaii and interviewed the boys and got them doing a lot of stuff here at home and out golfing and surfing, and it was just super fun. And by the time this airs, it will have already been featured on the Golf Channel, but they did tell me they were going to give me a link. So be sure to check show notes. Hopefully, I'll have a link where you can watch that 3-minute segment. And then, of course, Levi will be live on Sunday as well. So really exciting times for our family. And of course, if you are on my email list, you've already gotten links to things and seen where you can catch all this, because I'm always updating that right before this episode airs, whereas I have to record this a little bit in advance. And this week's email is really packed, you guys. Like, there's a whole lot going on, and I don't want you to miss it. So if you're new around here and you're not on my email list yet, I welcome you to go over to monicaswanson.com/subscribe, and you can leave your name and email address, and then you'll be on my email list moving forward. But because today's email was so important, let me know. You'll get a welcome email right away. Respond to that one and say, hey, can you send me this week's email? Because I want to make sure you have all the links to everything I'm talking about in there, especially the fact that next week, the 9th of April, we are kicking off the launch team for my next book, Becoming Homeschoolers. And I don't want anyone who's interested to miss that. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to do giveaways. I'm going to be coming on live. We're going to be just talking homeschooling, talking family, talking intentional parenting. I'm really excited. So whether or not you homeschool, you are all invited. And again, there will be a link over in show notes to that launch team sign up, but especially check your email for more information about the launch team. And again, I'm just over the moon excited to just welcome you all in and have a really fun month leading up to the May 7th launch of Becoming Homeschoolers. Okay, wow, that was a whole lot, but really excited about everything coming up and just excited for this springtime. So now we're going to move on and talk about this week's episode, which I'm super excited to share with you. We have Dorenda Wilson with us. Many of you are already fans and followers of Dorenda. If you don't know her, Dorenda is a mom to 8 kids who she homeschooled, all of them. She's got 10 grandkids, and she's really a trusted voice in the world of homeschooling and parenting. Now, Dorenda has written a few books. We're going to talk about those. You're going to hear more, and I'll link to them all in show notes. But she recently released a book called Raising Boys to Men. It's a simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. And when she says mercifully short, it's really a quick read, you guys, but it is packed, and it is so good. Dorenda says that there is a lot at stake when it comes to raising the next generation of men, and I couldn't agree more. She says, I think this is truer than we realize. We are in a spiritual battle for the souls of our boys, and this should not be taken lightly. But neither should it instill fear that could diminish our efforts. In fact, it should cause us to double down and commit ourselves to the privilege of faithfully raising our sons from boys to men. I love that, and I know you, my listeners, will agree with everything I just read from Dorenda. You know I wrote a book called Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most from You. Dorenda and I share a heart for raising boys to be godly young men. She's done it. I've done it. Hers are a little, well, she's got a range of boys. Most of hers are a little bit older than mine, but we love to talk. We communicate regularly, and I really see her as a virtual mentor. So I know you're going to love what she shares. She's passionate. She's funny. She's real. And this is going to be a great conversation. So without further ado, let's jump in and talk to Dorenda Wilson about raising boys to men. What do we need to know? Hold on tight. She's got a lot to share. Well, hey, Dorenda, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Yes. Well, you and I chat back and forth on Voxer enough that I feel like we could just start chatting and forget to stop here. So we'll do our best, listeners, to stay on topic. But I love talking to Dorenda. And I love listening to her podcast and reading her books. She's done so many amazing things to serve so many. So before we jump in, though you've been on the podcast before, why don't you just give a quick introduction here for everyone listening?
Okay. Well, I'm Dorenda Wilson, and I've been married to Daryl for 34 years. We have 8 kids, ages 19 to 30, almost 33, 5 boys and 3 girls, and then we have our 11th grandbaby on the way in September. So, and most of those are boys. So I've also authored a few books, The Unhurried Homeschooler, 4-Hour School Day, and Unhurried Grace for Mom's Heart. So, and I just love bringing encouragement through the podcast like you, Monica, and through my books. And so I'm just really grateful to be here today.
Yep. Well, I always tell listeners that it is those who have gone before me who I have gained wisdom from. When I was struggling as a young mom, I just really sought out mentors and tried to ask all the questions. So I'm still learning from you, just barely a step ahead of me. Well, barely in age, but definitely in grandkids and all the rest, quite a bit ahead. But I just encourage listeners to find those who have gone before you to just learn from and glean wisdom from, because sometimes you don't have to make your own mistakes. You can just learn from those of us who have, right?
Exactly. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yes. So we're going to be drawing today from, you mentioned some books, but tell us, you've got a new book just out as this airs.
I do. It's called Raising Boys to Men, a simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. So I'm just really excited about this new book. I love that it's short because I know moms are busy, but there's a lot there. It's about 100 pages long, and I think it's pretty full of hopefully encouraging content for moms who have boys.
Yes, I love that. And I too love short books because it's like when you want something, you want it now. And you can pretty much read that in, you know, maybe a long day or a couple just short sessions and get everything you need. So raising boys. We've got a lot of boy moms listening because this used to be the boy mom podcast. Now we've got girl moms too. And we're going to touch on that because you do have girls, which I don't.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about some of the differences there. But tell us what kind of inspired you to take on this new book. What do you see? What's going on? Talk to us about boys.
Well, I think that one of the reasons the message of this book is so important for moms right now is that the culture and the church are really in a crisis when it comes to masculinity. You know, we're being lied to and we've been lied to in all kinds of ways about gender and masculinity. And it's become trendy to hate men, to hate masculinity. Mm. And it's been that way for a while. It's really heated up more recently, but we've all kind of grown up with it. So it's as much as we are against that thinking, there's a certain amount that still impacts us and influences us without us realizing that that's sort of informing our view of how to raise boys. And I wanted to step back from that and help us sort of understand the differences between boys and girls, because there are differences, but often moms are struggling to reconcile what they know to be true about their boys and what the culture and the church are telling them. And so, which is basically that being male is a bad thing. Anything masculine or male related is, you know, especially if you're masculine at all, it's even worse than just being male, you know? So there's this sort of growing trend also on the other end of the spectrum toward masculinity. But it's like anything, if man takes something and he tries to define it, he's going to mess it up. So we have to look at scripture and God's framework. We have to work from God's framework and look for his definition of masculinity. Otherwise, you're going to end up in, you know, two different ditches. And you know how it is, if the devil doesn't care what ditch you're in, as long as you're in the ditch. So, you know, boys are just, they're unique creatures and they're different from us than moms. And I think the big struggle for us is understanding them, how they're wired, how they work, where are they, what kind of framework are they working from? What things are going through their heads that make them do the things that they do, you know? And so I really want to just help moms better understand their sons and then be able to better appreciate them so that they can encourage them toward godly biblical masculinity and have fun doing it. Because when you have more of an understanding of how your boys are wired and how they tick and why they do the things they do, suddenly you can enjoy that journey so much more and, you know, and relax a little bit and be on this adventure with them. Cause I know, you know, this boys, raising boys, it has its challenges, but it is a hoot. They are so much fun.
They are.
And so I just want moms to be able to look at their boys and just have fun with them, enjoy them and just be encouraging them, you know, cause we need to train them too. It's not like this is a free for all, you know? So I think that's where, you know, we talk about boundaries in the book and why they're important and how to set them. I think this is one thing that I do throughout the book is I talk about the what, but also the whys and the hows. A lot of the hows, practically speaking, what does this look like? You know, how would you word this to your son? You know, how would you respond in this situation in a way that he'll hear you? So that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, that is so good and so helpful. And I know that I hear from moms all the time who maybe grew up with just sisters or, you know, for whatever reason have never really understood boys. And now they're raising one, two, or multiple boys.
More,
And they're just like, I feel like, you know, this is someone from another planet. I don't even get them. But there is a moment, and I hear from moms who, when they decide that they're just going to enjoy and embrace and like study them, become students of your sons, everything shifts. And so for the mom listening that's got little boys, can you just give a, what kind of things should a mom expect who has boys? What's normal? And give us, cast that vision for us.
Okay. Well, I actually go through a list of things in the book. It's not exhaustive by any means. I'm sure they're, when moms read it, they're going to go, well, I could add to that list. But there are some things that came immediately to mind when I was writing this chapter. Expect to be grossed out. you know, they need to learn, our boys do need to learn to, you know, read the room, the time and the place for things, you know, but, and we get to decide what that is, and we have to be the ones to set the boundary, but it's going to happen, you know. Expect them to push the boundaries. And again, the time and the place that they can roughhouse and things like that can be set, and we have to keep those boundaries secure, but also be ready for reasonable, respectful compromises, you know. Expect to laugh a lot, because boys love it when we are goofy with them, when we laugh with them over, you know, we see them doing funny things and they make us laugh. They love that. And they actually feel valued by us when we are enjoying them. And that's something we really want them to experience. Expect them to go to the emergency room. I hate to say that, but it's true.
It is.
But boys need to do dangerous things. Mm-hmm. They really do. And I guess I feel like I just basically tell moms it's our biggest job at times is just to keep them alive. That doesn't mean we're helicoptering over them. Mm-hmm. It means we're there, but we're letting them take those risks, and we're ready to, you know, jump in if we need to. But it's just, it's part of raising boys. It just is. And to be able to say yes to as many things as we can, that's, you know, speaking of emergency room visits, our daughter who is 21, about, I don't know, a year or so ago, she looked at me and she said, "Mom, you know, I've been thinking about some of the things that you let the boys do." And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Why did you let them do those things?"
Totally.
And she goes, as a young woman who is, you know, looking forward to someday having kids, she's like, I don't even know how you said yes to some of those things. But it was, I knew it was important for them to do dangerous things. And I would often just stop and pray and discern the situation. Mm-hmm. How badly could they hurt themselves? And could I live with that? And, you know, decide yes and give them the chance. And so really, that's how they ended up doing so many crazy but fun things that they have such great memories of. There's lots of physical activity. We probably already know that by now. If you have a baby who's a baby boy who's even a year old, you know that they're running everywhere and they've got so much energy. But this is a feature, not a bug. So I just want to remind you of that.
I love and, that.
Yeah. And you also have to expect them to want to be independent. They're going to need time to do things on their own with their dad, with other boys doing boy things. Expect them to not like showers sometimes until they're like about 15 and all of a sudden they start noticing girls. Expect them to develop more slowly than girls their age, especially early on. But don't worry, they will catch up. And then I think something that's really important to remember as they go into those teen years is remember that they're going to lose a chunk of their brains as they approach puberty. You're laughing.
We're in that right now.
And so it's like you can have this 10, 11-year-old boy who's just like, oh my gosh, he does everything he's supposed to do. And he's just, I can depend on him so much. And then all of a sudden he starts nearing 12 or 13.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't remember to do his chore that he's been doing for the last 6 months, you know. And so what's happening is their bodies are working really hard to grow from just beginning that process of growing from a boy to a man. And so if we can be really open about that conversation with them and show them a certain amount of grace, not taking away the responsibility, but, you know, maybe adding some grace and some margin in there for them, but also having that conversation about the fact that, hey, this is what happens when you're changing from a boy to a man. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's going to be lots of things that are going to be a surprise to you, but they're normal. I think that's so important that they know that this is normal. Yes. They're not stupid. They haven't, you know, nothing's happened that they have brain damage or anything.
Right.
And we let them own that part of the journey with their dignity intact. So those are just a few things that, you know, as a mama boys, you can expect.
Yes. And we could probably just take any one of those and talk about it for an hour. Many of the things you said, I'm like, I'm seeing some of the emails I get. One of them I'd love to talk a little bit more about. You mentioned the roughhousing and all that. I'm often asked, you know, how do you know when, how much is too much? How physical should I let them be? Is that okay? Is there any framework that you suggest moms follow on this whole thing of roughhousing?
Sure, absolutely. I think that the first thing to keep in mind is that they are wired by their creator towards aggressiveness. And, you know, every boy, it's going to be a sliding scale. Some are far less aggressive and others are way more aggressive. And so as moms, we do have to discern that. So I think that's a really great question. But remembering that they were created to build, lead, protect, provide, and conquer. And often when that aggression is coming out, they're trying to do one of those things. And it might not be in the best setting, the right timing, or the right way. But if you can notice that, hey, I think he's trying to do X, Y, and Z. It's just he's doing it. And then we can more accurately correct that aggression towards something more positive. Remember that this is how boys bond. They bond through aggression. And so they can be a lot more aggressive with each other than I would let a boy be aggressive with a girl. You know, like I've got a grandson and granddaughter who are only about, I think they're about 19 months apart. But it's funny because the granddaughter is almost more aggressive than the grandson. And so, I mean, I'll just see her run across the room and plow into him and start wrestling with him. So, you know, she can handle more than maybe the average girl, but you have to sort of like navigate that yourself and be able to sort of teach them discernment. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to put a lid on that aggression all the time, because God isn't calling us to just raise nice guys. He's calling us to raise warriors and dragon slayers. And the culture doesn't appreciate aggression because this reason, we're not running for our lives anymore, right? We're all real comfortable. We don't have daily need to have men going out and hunting and killing and foraging. We just go to the grocery store, right? So we've lost the appreciation for that aggression, but we still need that aggression in our boys and our men, because we need men who are willing to fight against the moral and political overreach that is hell-bent on destroying the family. We see it all around us. We need men who are kind and understand how to help the helpless, but aren't afraid to wage war when necessary because they love what and who they are fighting for. And in the book, in the book, I quote G.K. Chesterton. He said, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." And so that would be that protector. And so sometimes you'll see, I'll give you an example, maybe your six-year-old son just goes full force after another little boy, just tackles him to the ground, and you're like, what just happened? So before, you know, maybe even starting to discipline or administer any kind of discipline, I would stop and ask what just happened. Because sometimes, often what'll happen is something was provoked there. Maybe that other little boy did something to his sister or said something or was being mean to somebody. And your son was doing what he was made to do. Now, maybe that's not exactly the way he should have done it, but saying, "I love that you wanted to protect your sister," acknowledging that the way they're wired. So when they do something like that, you can say, "Oh, I love the way you want to lead, or the way you want to protect, or the way you want to provide, or the way you want to conquer. But let's talk about maybe how we could have done this just a little bit differently." And, you know, so we're going to, these are going to be like a whole bunch of mini conversations you're going to have over time. So you decide, mom, the time and the place. I had to give our boys time and space to beat the tar out of each other. I just did. Like they needed it and they wanted it, and it was how they bonded. And so most of the time I sent them outside or down to the basement.
I was just going to say, downstairs. Send them outside.
I don't do that. I don't do a bunch of roughhousing in the house. I don't do well with a ton of noise. But we lived in a place that had really harsh winters. And so there were days that they could not, literally could not go outside. And I mean, I sent them out every chance I could. But when it was like, you know, okay, it's minus nine outside, it's probably not a good idea. I would say, okay, you guys have 20 minutes. Go. And I just either went somewhere else or I just shut my ears to it and I let him go. But we have to let them get that out. So don't be concerned about that aggression, but also know that it's going to have to be directed properly. And that's going to take time and stages of development for that to be refined, you know? And sometimes if we're doubtful about, I don't know if this was too much or not, we can ask our husbands.
Yeah.
They're a great resource for that. They can tell you, oh no, that's not bad. don't even worry about that. Or, right. You know, or they'll say, yeah, that might have been a little much, you know. But they are a great resource when it comes to kind of gauging some of that with our sons.
Definitely. And I think the same thing goes for some of those activities that scare us as moms. I always say,
right.
When I'm feeling fearful, I check in with my husband because he usually mm-hmm. knows if, yeah, that's probably a little too much or not. So,
right, right.
That's super good. Any of you homeschooling or thinking about homeschooling, I want to make sure you go over and check out the diveintomath.com website. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours and the professor over at Dive, and he has done an amazing job of preparing kids well for the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Dr. Shorman teaches with a biblical and historical foundation, which offers the why of learning math. Dr. Shorman uses John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. For your math-minded students, it's hard to find a homeschool curriculum that goes as far as you can find in a traditional school setting, but Dr. Shorman offers all the way through Calculus 2. Also, your kids can earn up to 32 college credits with included CLEP and AP prep. And here's an inside scoop. Dr. Shorman's classes are shorter and the week is shorter than most curriculums I've found, and yet kids learn more. So definitely go over to diveintomath.com, check it out, let me know what you think. Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Now, recently I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA for 10% off today. Another thing you touched on that I just wanted to add to and have you share a little bit more, that when we talk about protecting them, when we talk about where to let them go and where to pull them in, my husband and I have had conversations recently about how it seems like a lot of parents, you know, with the best intentions, but they're almost getting things backwards in that they're protecting their kids from the physical dangers, but they're exposing their hearts to the dangers. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement is always, let's flip that. Let go of some of your worry about skin, knees, and danger,
right.
Physical danger, but guard their hearts. So maybe, I mean, obviously we're raising kids in a world that the internet's changed everything, social media, these cell phones. Talk to us a little bit about guarding our sons' hearts as they grow up.
Well, I think, again, those are conversations you're going to have from the very beginning, and you're going to work, you're right, to protect them from unnecessary negative peer pressure. That's one of the reasons that we decided to homeschool is we wanted to protect them from early on and then slowly expose them as time went on, kind of like a greenhouse type of thing where you plant the seed and, you know, you grow it in a very controlled environment because it's very delicate and fragile and you want it to grow healthy and strong. And then eventually you start setting it outside for short periods of time. And eventually it's ready to be out there all the time. So that's how I look at the whole protection process with our kids. And when it comes to our boys, we can't be too careful when it comes to the internet. I think it's so important to to honestly, my suggestion, if at all possible, is just keep them off screens for as long as possible. Do school the old-fashioned way for as long as possible, because once you go down that road, there is no turning back. Mm-hmm. And so you want to, you know, be prayerful and thoughtful and discerning about when that process starts. So, I mean, if I could just not do any schoolwork on the internet, I would choose that. I mean, if I were starting over, that's what I would do. I would go back and I would do it the way we had to do it at the beginning with our oldest kids, because there was no internet. Mm-hmm. It was just workbooks you put down in front of you. We read together. We were doing real life together. Mm-hmm. I can't emphasize that enough. Boys need hands-on, all that kind of thing. I'm not saying it's wrong if you are using the internet but maybe even just cutting back on that a little bit, and then putting protections in place on your computers as they grow and get older as well. You want to have those from the beginning because you don't want them to accidentally end up somewhere. Exactly. I also recommend in the book, whenever they are on a computer, that they're on the computer in a family space. Yeah. So your dining room, living room, someplace where there's no hiding anything. People are walking by all the time. We can check, we can, you know, all of that. Yeah. But we also got those other filters on the internet as well. And then we did let our boys game. We waited as long as possible to let them do it. And then of course it was an ongoing instruction on, you know, self-control. When has it become your God? I talk about this in the book, like how to tell when it's just been like they're too attached to it. And it happens so quickly. They cannot be one day and the next day they can be. So there's ways to test that. And I talk about that in the book. Mm-hmm. But I will say that as much of a battle as it was, because this was at the very beginning, we didn't have any instruction or direction. You remember this, Monica. Yes, there was nothing out there, right? Mm-hmm. There was nothing to guide us through that. We were just navigating waters that were uncharted, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a lot of praying, which I still highly recommend, because you have to do what's best for your family. And so, but I will say that in the middle of it, when I was fighting them on it, or just having to make them take a fast, and they were mad, and you know, all you know, that which just told me they needed the fast. I was thinking, is this going to be worth it? I hope this is going to be worth it. And you know, fast forward, our boys are all adults now. They have great self-control when it comes to the internet, great self-control when it comes to gaming. But the thing they love to do every Friday night is they live one lives in Denver, one in Idaho, and the rest live by us. They get online Friday nights and they all game together, and they've done this for years. And it keeps them so bonded, because guys aren't going to pick up the phone and call.
Right.
They're probably not even going to text, but they'll game together, and that's how they stay bonded. And so I was so thankful that they had that to keep them.
Yeah. You know, and there's some competitive nature and aggressive nature. All that comes together.
Yes, and being choosy about the games. Like they learned, because we're kind of learning alongside of each other. One of the things that I love about how they choose their games is they choose games that require teamwork. They choose games that where they have to be super resourceful within the game. And so those are kind of two of their main requirements on it, which makes it actually a really great setting for gaming.
There's some, I appreciate that, you know, you can pull out some of those positives in the midst of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple more things I want to cover before I let you go. And one is, you share an acronym in your book to help moms remember what our sons need. Can you just touch on that? And then people can go read all about it in the book.
Sure. Yes. I love this because it is an acronym that every boy mom will remember. Okay. It's BURP, B-U-R-P. And it stands for B for boundaries, U for use few words, R, respect and responsibility, and P, prayer. And those are kind of, that's kind of the meat of the book. Mm-hmm. And I expound on each of those things and why they're important. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll help moms be able to recall more quickly what their boys need in a moment, if you've got a little something like that to help you remember.
Definitely. And I love the story of, it was your husband who helped you kind of understand the use less words
Can you tell us that story here?
Sure. I'd love to. So super frustrated with we had 14 boys at the time, and I felt like everything I said was just bouncing off. Like they weren't hearing me. It was like I was speaking another language, and I was so frustrated. My husband took me out for dinner, and I just kind of unloaded on him, like throughout the entire meal, how frustrated I was with these boys. And so we got in the car, and he stops and he looks at me and he says, I need to tell you something, but I don't want to hurt your feelings.
So
I said, just tell me. I felt much better that I'd gotten everything off my chest. I was ready to hear something.
Wise man. Listen first.
Yes. And so he said, you use too many words. The boys don't respect you when you use that many words. And I was like, oh my gosh, I knew this about men and boys. When did I forget? Because this is what happens. We forget. And this is why we need a book like mine. So you can grab it back off the shelf and remind me again what's going on here. And so I went home and I sat the four boys down. They all, to this day, they remember that conversation because they were scared, spitless. They thought they were in trouble. And whenever I gathered them all together and sat them down, you know,
I've like, done a lineup. I'm like, boys, line up. Exactly. And they're like, uh-oh.
Line up. So they were like, oh no, what's happening? And so I told them what my husband said, and they said, yes. I mean, they're nodding enthusiastically. Mm-hmm. They said, yes, mom. They said, we would rather feel physical pain than listen to you talk so much. And oh my gosh, they were not being disrespectful. They were being honest with me. And I so appreciated that. So I had to work so hard at it. Mm-hmm. But I retrained myself to communicate only what I needed to communicate with to them in 15 seconds or less. And I had to make that, as hard as that was, I had to make that sacrifice for their sake, in order for the sake of our relationship, but also because that's what they needed in that time. Now, I had a mom reach out to me on Instagram when I shared that story on Instagram, and they said, this is bad advice. You should not take this advice, because then these boys are going to think that everybody just has to use few words or they don't have to listen. And I'm like, whoa. No. I said, no, the setting was teen boys. Mm-hmm. who are in the middle of all these hormone changes. Mm-hmm. They develop mentally, aren't really in a place where they can handle a ton of words at this point, but they'll get there eventually.
Yes.
Now, the funny thing is, I told her, I said, three of those boys are now married and all of their wives love to talk and they are navigating it just fine. So if that's a concern of yours, moms who are listening, it's not a problem. It was just for that time, and specifically giving directives at that point in their lives, it was super important to minimize my words.
Oh, yeah. And I think if any mom out there thinks about this and is like, I might be guilty, just try the next time you have that chance with your son to just say it as short and sweet as you can. And I'll bet you get a much better response from them. So
yes. And the other deal though that I made was like, I'm not just going to use less words, because if I'm going to use less words and you're still not going to listen, that doesn't solve the problem. Right. Mm-hmm. I said, are you guys okay? If I will work hard on you. So it's kind of a compromise. I'll work hard on using less words, but if you don't respond, then I'm going to have just harsh, like physical consequences ready. They're either going to run laps or going to do pushups. I don't know, something. I would have something. Work, chores, something for them to do if they didn't respond.
Absolutely.
And they said, you're totally fine with that, mom. We don't mind that at all. And I think I maybe had to do it a couple of times, and that was it. And it was great.
Consequences are the most effective and still the hardest for me. But maybe I'm thinking the consequence should be you have to stand in a room with me talking for 20 minutes. I'll obey. Okay. I also love one more thing we have to cover, because just recently I pulled out an old book that I read with my older boys, and now I'm reading with my 13-year-old. And it is on the topic of work, Created for Work. Maybe you've read that one too. Schultz, I think, is the author.
Yeah, so it's good. Actually a book that I recommend in my book recommendations at the end. That's on the list.
Yes. It's so good. And so I'll link to that in the show notes. But on this topic of work, remind us, encourage us, why do our boys need to work?
Well, for one thing, we talked about that aggression earlier. Mm-hmm. That is so needs to come out and to be worked out. And that best happens, I believe, through work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the scripture talks about work and how it is a gift, because it's something that God mandated before the fall, the whole stewardship thing. And when he told Adam and Eve, he gave them the garden to steward and take care of that work to do. He gave that to them before the fall. So we know that was a good thing. It was a gift. Mm-hmm. It got harder, obviously, after the fall, but it's from something that I believe that we can use to help build a strong work ethic. We want to build a strong work ethic in our boys through work. And it is one of the greatest gifts that we can give to them. You know, we all have different kinds of skills and abilities, but if our kids don't have work ethic, those skills and abilities aren't going to serve them nearly as well. It'll open up more opportunities for them if they're a good, hard, solid worker. It teaches them perseverance and resilience. It brings out heart issues that need to be dealt with. It gives them something to conquer. It builds confidence and skill sets, opens up opportunities, prepares them for life. And here's the thing with boys. I heard a wise mom once say her main job as a mom of boys is to employ and exhaust. Boys need to work out that energy. And one of the best ways to do that is through work. Play is important as well, but they need to be shouldered with responsibility at an early age, age-appropriate responsibility as early as possible, because this is what grows their confidence. And there's three questions. I had Mark from Trail Life USA on the podcast recently. And one of the things he said to me that I'll never forget, he said, boys walk around with three questions in their minds all the time. One, who's in charge? Two, who's on my team? And three, what are we doing? So there has to be a lot of doing with boys. So we've got to, I'll give you an example. I have a 15-month-old grandson, and he was following me around the other day at home. And, you know, sometimes they follow you around and whine, and he wasn't whining at the time, but he was just kind of following me around. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to give him something to do. So I was going to the deep freezer to get a couple pounds of hamburger. And so I said, come here, Van, can you carry this for Nana? And he hangs on to it, and he marches with me to the kitchen. And I had a pan I wanted him to put it into. And so I handed him the pan and I said, can you put that in there? And he put it in. I said, good job. Way to go, buddy. They love that. If you can do as much of that as possible, they thrive on that. And you know, and it just slowly moves them from a very early age towards just taking responsibility, loving work, loving to help, growing in confidence. So it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. So much character is developed as they work. And couldn't agree more. Well, because I know we share a heart for raising boys who will grow up to be men of God, who make a difference for the kingdom of God, I'd love for you to touch on raising boys on mission and how we can do that as moms, even from the time they're young. How can we instill in them that heart of really having a mission and living for a mission?
Well, I think it's just including them. You know, we as adults have things that need to happen every day on a very practical level, especially as moms, right? We have to cook dinner, we have to do laundry, we have all these different things to do, and we can just engage them in some of those tasks. We also, again, chores, we want to give them chores to do. I know you talk about character development, and I'm sure that you talk about chores as well. When they know what to expect, I think this is super important, that they know kind of what, the when, the where, and the how, and they know that's what's expected of them each day, and then they accomplish it, and we give them kudos and praise along the way. That's really all it takes to really give them that boost that they need and that encouragement in that direction.
So good. So good. And then I think that the whole idea of raising boys on mission as they grow in faith, I know that you've had your boys plugged into a church as well as things you do as a family. Are there some things you've done as a family you can share about to just help boys really grasp that understanding of where they fit into God's greater mission?
Well, I think, you know, the devotional that you mentioned, Bob also has two others, and they're one of them has to do with practical happiness. So it has to do with contentment.
And then, of course, the
Created for Work, yes, and Boyhood and Beyond. Those are mm-hmm. really good ones. Now, they only include like one scripture at the top. Sure. And I really, that's one thing I'm not crazy about with most devotionals. But if you take that passage and you, you know, read it in context and talk about it, the other thing is go to scripture and go through those characters, in the, especially mm-hmm. in the Old Testament. I mean, there are so many characters of mm-hmm. just faith. These aren't perfect men. But mm-hmm. God used them. You think about yeah. Moses and Abraham, yeah. and you think about Gideon and Samson, mm-hmm. and you know, they all yeah. had their faults, but they were used mightily by God. And David, who, you know, he had a, you know, heart unto God, and what did God call him? Yes, a man after his heart. Own heart. Yes. And so, you know, these are wonderful examples of faith heroes. Those are the really solid, you know, faith heroes. But then there's also heroes throughout church history. If you go to the heroes, heroes of the faith, heroes then and now, yeah. the YWAM series. Oh mm-hmm. my goodness. So many good ones there as well. And so just having those, reading those and having those as a sort of mm-hmm. a conversational jumping off place. The other thing that I like to do is in real life to point out when one of my boys is exhibiting a specific character quality that, you know, is to be admired, to be something that's godly. And because that just, it builds their confidence, it encourages their siblings, and, you know, it helps them recognize this is what godliness looks like. Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like to be a believer. And then of course we model it for ourselves mm-hmm. and we make sure that our sons have either a father figure mm-hmm. in their life, whether it's, you know, because I know there's some single moms or dads who aren't mm-hmm. in the picture, but if you can find someone at church, some mm-hmm. godly man that you know that your son can look up to and to spend time with as a role model, mm-hmm. Trail Life USA, wonderful resource for that. If you just don't
link to that.
Yes. A wonderful, wonderful place for matching together godly mm-hmm. men with to mentor young men who need that role model in their lives.
Amazing. That is all so good. And as always, I love how practical all of these things are. People can read the book and literally start to put it into action right away. And of yeah. course, I love that this, it's not just for homeschooling parents, but that it is for homeschooling parents as well.
Right.
So
right.
perfect resource. Well, Dorenda, is there any last word of encouragement for the boy moms? Maybe we didn't get to talk about the differences in boys and girls. That's in the book as well. But maybe a word for those who have both. What can they do to just really embrace those boys?
Well, I think just make sure that the environment in your home isn't hostile towards masculinity, towards aggressiveness. Again, we're going to be mm-hmm. wise and discerning. We're going to set boundaries and all mm-hmm. of this I talk about in the book, what those boundaries will look like and all of that. But create a home environment that is welcoming to yeah. that masculinity that, yeah. you know, I have three girls as well. And mm-hmm. We were sort of comrades because, you know, it was sort of like we were outnumbered, you know?
Yeah.
And so at a certain point in time, you know, but it's interesting because our oldest two are girls. So they sort of somewhat set the tone in the uh-huh. house, but the boys had a pretty strong influence too. And so there was always this sort of bantering going on back and forth. But I would say that one of the things I did do was because we were creating an environment that wasn't hostile towards masculinity, we had the conversations that we needed to have specifically with the girls about, hey, you guys, I understand that you find that distasteful or whatever. And yeah, there needs to be some discernment here. Just helping them understand, like, this is how guys are. And again, not making excuses, but just like, there's beauty in the way that they're wired together. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. There was a focus on the, hey, there's a reason that they're wired together this way. So that those girls grew up embracing and appreciating their brothers and their masculinity. And so then they went to get married and their husbands were so thankful for that healthy environment that they grew up in, that they didn't go into the marriage with this sort of bitterness towards, you know, masculinity or just sort of hostility towards them. Oh. They welcomed it. They thought it was funny. They found humor in it. They got their husbands so much better. So I would just say, just you want an environment. Obviously, you don't want to be hostile towards the girls either, but it tends to not be because, you know, we and our girls have a lot in common, and, you know, easier for us to find a groove, but to just make it just a great family environment for both, I think is really important. And just enjoy those boys. That would be my biggest encouragement to you. Like you said, relax, don't worry as much about the skin knees, but just the character and giving them opportunities to be who God made them to be.
Ah, so well said. I'm encouraged, and I'm sure everyone listening is as well. Where can people, this is a self-published book, so where, tell us where we can find it and where people can follow you as well.
Okay, well, you can find me at dorendawilson.com, and you can find the book there at the website, or you can find it on Amazon. You can, for a while, as we're launching the book over the first several weeks, we're doing some free incentives, so you'll have to just look and see when this comes out what the what the most current incentive is. So yeah, you can find the book there, and yeah, that's
so fun,
that's awesome. Place to find it.
I will be linking to all of those places. And just thank you so much for taking time to hang out with us today. We love boys around here, and boy moms need all the encouragement they can get. So thank you, Dorenda, so much.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Aloha. All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation, and you can find show notes with links to everything we talked about, as well as that drive, chip, and putt event and my launch team signups for my next book, Becoming Homeschoolers, over in show notes at monicaswanson.com/Dorenda-Wilson. And Dorenda is spelled D-U-R-E-N-D-A-Wilson. Okay, and fun fact, if you're part of the character training course, look for an interview with Dorenda in the character training course where she's talking about raising kids to be good workers, something I know that's so important to so many of us. How can we instill a good work ethic in our kids? Well, that is in the character training course. And so if you just signed up for it recently, have a look. You're going to find that in there. And if you didn't get to sign up for the character training course, no worries. Stay tuned, because I'm hoping to open it up this summer one more time. So keep coming back. And the easiest way to never miss anything is to be on my email list, which again, you can join by going to monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Okay, friends, have yourself a wonderful rest of the week. Can't wait to share so many great interviews with you this spring. So keep coming back, spread the word about the podcast, and until next time, aloha.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.